Blog Talk Radio.
Treated me sort of wrong. I can't take anymore, and it looks like I'm never gonna fall in love again.
And welcome. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson of Delicious Talk. Today was a nice day here. I have a bit of news I want to put out before I get on with my show and bring my co-hosts in. The first little bit of news I want to talk about is a lady's son was kidnapped when he was 8 months old by the babysitter. He was found alive in good health, but he hadn't been to school, and the babysitter is under arrest, but the child is in foster care now. They're going to have to do a DNA test on the mom to make sure that she's the mom, and then she's going to be back reunited with her son. That's a very happy ending. And another story, Bobby Christina is alleged engaged to her adoptive brother. This young man, Whitney, had adopted, I don't know how long ago, but it's alleged that she and this guy, they're now engaged. And another story that happened here, a young lady was murdered by her husband. She had a restraining order out on him, but he stalked her, followed her. He did everything in his power to aggravate her and antagonize her. And the last final draw was when they were going up Connecticut Avenue in Kingston area here, and she was trying to get out of the truck. He shot her in the head and threw her out on the ground just like she was trash. That was very, very sad. Anyway, he goes to a friend's house, and he told the friend what he did. The friend said that he had beat her in the head with the butt of a rifle so bad until the butt had broken, he duct taped it back on. Then, you know, he eventually shot her in the head and killed her. And the friend said, well, you can't stay here. You know, why don't you turn yourself in? He said, I'm not turning myself in, you know. So when the police came, the SWAT team, this and that, surrounded the house, the guy killed himself. He took the cowardly way out. And tonight our show is going to be, me and my co-host are going to be discussing the restraining orders. What are they good for? If they, you know, because it's just a piece of paper. And I think that's a false sense of security that women get when they're trying to, you know, keep themselves alive or even to get out of a situation where they feel safe and it's not really safe. So what are restraining orders for? What is their worth? So with that being said, I'm going to bring in my co-host, and we're going to get on with the show. Hi, Rhea.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fantastic, just fantastic. Can't wait to get into this show because, you know, like we had discussed the other day about these restraining orders that women are taking out on their spouses, husbands, boyfriends, significant others, and then they end up either dead or maimed or, you know, getting missing and never heard from again. So my question is, you know, why isn't there something a little bit more protective, you know, helping these women to be a little bit more protective than a piece of paper? You know, laws should be changed when they violate that. When they violate their restraining order, then I think that something severe should be done to let them know that, hey, we mean business. Now, this guy who just killed his wife here, he had been in and out of jail over about 5 months. He's been in and out of jail, violating the restraining order, you know, stalking her, doing all kind of things, and they let him go. You know, each time they let him go, they knew what he was doing. He was stalking her. She's calling the police. Well, he's here, this and that. They lock him up. I think one of his bails to get out was less than $200. So he got out, and he killed her. She had 6 children. She had 3 children by him and 3 children in a previous marriage. So, you know, that goes right there to show that a piece of paper is no type of protection for these women. So I don't know, you know, maybe they might think about changing the laws, or I don't know, because she's not the first one that had a restraining order out on her husband, and something, you know, happened to him. It was another young lady here, and I'm going to read that article shortly. Another young lady here that had a restraining order out on her husband, and he goes up to her job and throws gasoline on her and burns her, you know, but fortunately she survived, but, you know, the scar is going to always be there, you know, so she had a restraining order out on him. And like I said, I'm going to read that article, you know, in a little while. It has the article, the judge in question, he was just crazy. This judge was crazy. He should never, ever, ever be able to be a judge anywhere, you know. So I'm going to get to those articles shortly. Rhea, do you have any comments on anything that I just spoke of?
I know since we were reading earlier this week, I did think about restraining orders, and basically they serve very little purpose in the protection of the bodily protection of that female.
Right.
And I'm saying female because 99.9 times out of 10, it's the female that's being assaulted or, abused or whatever. Anyway, the only purpose I can see them serving is because I don't know of a situation where it was needed in order to stop something. This woman works in the public building. And her restraining order is what stopped him from being able to get in on the building.
Mm-hmm.
In the building to attack her, because he had attacked her in the building once before. And she only survived that attack. She only survived that attack because security got there and he ran. They kept saying it was her words against theirs because security never saw the assailant.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept saying things. And she said, "I know it was him," instead of saying it was him. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they didn't prosecute him for that. But in order for him not to be able to get into that building again, she had to get a restraining order. And he had to stay 100 feet away from that building, which he did in his car across the street. Because when he finally killed her, he killed her when she was en route to her car in the parking lot.
Because
he had been sitting outside the building. So, it does very, very little, it serves very little purpose. I know there was a case here which goes back to what you just said about the particular case. These repeat, quote-unquote, offenders and offenses. Because that was the first time I heard about an IBOT. I think it was, a peace bond or whatever the case. She had a restraining order, a peace bond. She had several different documentations that was supposed to keep this man away from her. And he was violated, and she would call the police. He would get arrested, and then they would let him go. Well, this one particular time, it was the
last time that
he was let go, because he's incarcerated now for life, but she's dead.
Because
he went up. He went up in her place of residence, broke the door in, and I thought he stabbed her. But he killed her. And she stayed in a building where there was security in the, there was security in the lobby. She moved there specifically so that he could not just walk up to her front door. And that's exactly what he did. And
she's dead now.
And she left three children. Yeah, two girls and a boy. She left three children.
With no parents now.
Well, it's really kind of bad when, a person thinks that, a piece of paper is a safe haven, like I had mentioned, they need to make these laws a little stricter when a person violates, a restraining order, because they just give them a slap on the wrist, and the next thing you know, they're going back out, and they've killed somebody,
Well, I know one lady here, she used hers as, I'm only laughing because of the way she did it.
Mm-hmm.
She framed her. She had two, a copy or whatever. One was at her job and one was at her home. And she framed them and had them, mounted on her door. It was mounted on the door of her home. And she started taking, she started going to the range. She got her boy card. She started going to the range. And if he came within 100 feet of her, she had started shooting at him.
Mm-hmm.
But then they would give her doing this and the other. She said, "No, I go to the range. I have right aim."
Right.
I didn't shoot to kill him. I would have shoot to stop him, I shot to him to get back fast. You know, I don't know what happened in that situation because he was loony too, completely.
Your voice is fading out, darling.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was completely loony tuned. He just kept coming, and he just kept coming. I lost touch with her, so I don't know what happened in her particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes if they do act, then they end up in jail, they being the one that's being stalked.
Mm-hmm. Well, I met this young lady that lives here, and she's into real estate, right? She's a nice person. She's as nice as she can be, but she's been married twice, and she said her first husband, he is a psycho. He broke into her, first of all, he somehow or another got to her computer, got her passcode, went into her computer, erased all her important messages and different things like that, just wiped her hard drive clean.
Wow.
Then he somehow or another got her cell phone information, was calling people who left messages for her. Then he broke into her house, threw all her stuff out on the lawn, and it had rained. I think it had rained that next day because she had went to visit her daughter. When she gets back home, all her stuff is on the lawn. And I said, well, what is going on? I think she did say she had a restraining order against him, but he keeps violating it. And this is not the first time he's done something to her, you know, since they have been divorced. And I'm just saying, I didn't hear from her for a while, so I got to thinking. I said, I hope he didn't kill her. But I did call her sister the other day, and she said that she was, you know, spending time with her daughter because she moved out of that house. And, you know, I think it's a shame when a person has to uproot and leave everything on account of somebody's craziness. You know, he's obsessed, and that's crazy. And you know, it's going to become dangerous because of the things that he's doing. She said he never, you know, put his hands or anything like that, but you never know when a person's going to snap. You know, he doesn't necessarily have to put his hands on her at this particular time anyway. He just may go get a gun or just catch up with her on the street somewhere and just run up behind her and stab her.
Exactly.
You know, so it's just, it's really sad that, you know, I've never been in a situation where I've been in an abusive relationship, but I don't think I've ever had a restraining order out on anybody. Well, I was only like in one abusive relationship, so I've never had to, you know, put a restraining order out on anybody, but, you know, I would be watching my back, especially as someone who's obsessed over you. And this guy, the story that I'm getting ready to read in a second, is that case. And it's really sad that when you first get involved with somebody and you're thinking that this person is caring about you, this person is loving you and, you know, wanting to be a part of your life for the rest of your life, the next thing you know, they're stalking you, you know, secluding you from your family, you know, just doing all kind of crazy things because of their obsession of you. And then, like I said, the next thing you know, you're either dead, maimed, or cut up or something. The other night I was watching HBO, and they had this documentary on there called Faces. And this is how the men over in, I want to say Iraq, or one of those countries over there, the men throwing acid in their women's faces. You know what? It's just so crazy how men can do so many things to women and, you know, they take it. And the time that they give them is like a slap on the wrist.
Exactly.
You know, and we're not supposed to be treated like that. We're supposed to be treated like the queens that we are. And, you know, women out there who are not, you know, acting like queens, they get treated accordingly. But women who are queens, that's how they should be treated. And those women over there, they have it so hard. I'm so blessed and thankful and grateful that God chose my parents, the ones that he gave me here, because I could have been over there in one of those countries and married somebody and they threw acid in my face. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, but they stone them. Oh, I mean, and it's the men in the family. If they, because I know one of the cultures, she can never be alone. She can never venture out of the home without one of the men in the family with her. And when I say the men in the family, it doesn't just have to be her husband. It could be his brother. I don't know if it could be her brothers, but I don't know exactly how that works in regard to. But I know she can't venture out of the home without the company of one of the males in the family, and she can never be in a place where there are other men and one of the men of the family is not there. You know, things such as that. And if she violates these things, they stone them. They do. I mean, to me, some of that stuff is. The work on the man, which is the wrong word, is prehistoric. Because it's like that doesn't make any sense to me. And the easiest ways that they can, and they take their lives, and it's like that's acceptable. That they're right.
Yeah, someone in the chat room said it's problematic when men in a society regard women as things, and that's the truth.
I know it's in one of the locations where they have to wear the burqas, you know, because they have to be covered up. Only thing you see is that as one of those places where they do that, and it's like, I understand we have to respect other people's way of life and things such as that. But that stuff is just
ridiculous.
It's beyond ridiculous, and it's inhumane. It's like you said, like the person in the chat room said, they're property and not a person. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Well, we have a caller. This is Miss Kane. Good evening, Miss Kane.
Dallas.
How are you? You have a question or comment? How you
hey,
feeling?
Lady.
Still a little better, but you know, I don't know. I think I got an infection or something. Cause it's like my throat and my ears keep trying to hurt. So we don't know, but I know one thing. I'll be in somebody's doctor office. I need a shot, some pills, some tablets. I don't care. A horse, PP, something. I'm just playing. But here's my thing. And I've witnessed so much domestic violence and women getting restraint of order. Mom Dukes knows that it's no secret. I try to do a show every year because I lost my cousin due to, it wasn't so much domestic violence. It was just how, I guess you could say, this guy's ways was domestic. Things that he did was just, I don't know, just crazy, over the top, and his actions was the reason why my cousin died. But what I don't know what it's like to have to get a restraining order on nobody. I've never had men to come around, you know, acting like, oh, my God, I'm crazy, except for this Mexican that I was with. He was crazy as hell, but see, I knew he was crazy. Because when we first started talking, and he was fine, ladies, I ain't going to lie. Some women see him, they were like, oh, my God, he's so pretty. He was, but he was crazy as hell. And I recognized that from the door. I asked him, I said, if I cheated on you, would you, you know, what would you do? He was like, I'll beat your ass. Just like that. He didn't tremble with it. None of that crap. And it was, you know, one occasion where I had to put him out, and he stayed on my balcony like he wasn't going to leave. And I told him, you got 5 minutes to get off my balcony. If you don't leave, I'm calling the law. And so he already knew, but I don't know how, and I pray to God, and this is no disrespect to other women, I just pray that I don't never have to run into those type of dudes. And then I don't understand, like, for some women, why do you get a restraining order and then you go right back to him? Like this girl, example, she got a restraining order, and this was my homeboy's sister. She got a restraining order from her daughter's father. Okay, well, he called her, you know, oh, I love you so much. I just want to see you and my child. And he tricked her into coming to this gas station. And so when she got to the gas station, they was, like, behind, like, in the back area where, you know, they was out of, like, the range of, like, the cameras and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he shot her in the head and killed her. Mm-hmm. And he also shot the baby in the head and killed the baby, too. Then he turned the gun on himself.
Mm-hmm.
But you knew this nigga was crazy. You see what I'm saying? So what?
Let me ask you this.
You know, too much time.
When the guy had told you that he would beat you, how did you feel at that moment? Were you fearful, or you just let it roll off your back like water on a duck? How did you actually feel after he said that he would beat you if you ever left him or cheated on him or whatever?
I knew he was crazy. But you got to understand, because, I mean, I'm from the bottom of the map. It's nothing to me to have been raised around violence. So when somebody say something off the wall to me, 9 times out of 10, I don't care. But, or I'm thinking, prove what you're talking about to me. Because I have a part of me that just, I really don't care about nothing. If you bite it, then show me that you're like that. And that's just what it is. But the thing with him dealing with Mexicans, and you have to know, like, how they culture get down with certain things. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they do believe in beating their woman asses. They do. And I'm not just trying to make it seem like that's, you know, it's all about their race or whatever, but it was just something to look in his eye that let me know that this guy is serious and I might need to take him a little serious, even though I didn't care, because I feel like this. If a man hits me, and I've been in a fight battle with my daughter's father, but it wasn't like, okay, he beat me up type stuff. We used to just get into it. But to think about what this Mexican dude, I don't know. I mean, if it would have came to that, then I'd have dealt with it. But I just knew he was kind of maybe a little serious, and it was what it was. I didn't stay talking to him that much longer after that.
Wow, and you know, like you had mentioned also, the girl had a restraining order out on her baby daddy, I guess that's who he was, and she went to him, so she basically was in violation of the restraining order as well, and it cost her life. When you have a restraining order on somebody, that means that you're not supposed to go near that person as well as that person you had that restraining order on not coming near you. And for her to do that, you know, to lose her life on it, that's just horrible.
It was 1 year where domestic violence hit a spike, like within a 6-month period, about 8 women had lost their lives. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This one white guy, him and his wife was getting divorced. He went to his son's baseball game or whatever, shot her dead, you see what I'm saying? Shot her boyfriend, her new boyfriend, and she had a restraining order against him. I mean, this other woman, I mean, you know what trips me out? Let me just say this. I've seen cases where you got some of these people that are so up in age, like this one guy, him and his wife had got a divorce, she moved on. They like in their late 50s and stuff. Okay, damn, you and your late 50s dude, bro, like, really? You trying to come kill somebody, and you that far up in age to the point, you know, like, yeah, I'm just finna kill you and all this type of stuff. See, men are crazy. I don't know too many women that have to have restraining orders put out against them. Now, you know, don't cuss me out tonight, ladies. I know you got some hood chicks out here like Kiki and little Shaquana and Dashanique over there in the hood or whatever. That like the bus out there windows and flat tires, little Shaquita. I mean, the name says it all. You shouldn't have been messing with her. But I'm just saying, I know it's those type of females, but you ain't, I mean, literally, I don't see no man going down to the police department talking about, yeah, I'm here to get a restraining order against Dashanique because she just bust me upside my head 2 times. I don't see that.
That's true. And if it does, it's a rare occasion.
Exactly.
It's a rare occasion. Because men are the dominant species, and they will do any and everything to keep their dominance. So if it means going against a restraining order or busting you upside your head, flattening your tires, knocking your your present boyfriend out and all those kind of things. That's what they're going to do. And I think it's a shame that men, we have men who think like that, you know, and they, I really don't even consider them as men, because men are men. Then you have the boys, then you have the people who pretend to be men. I guess you can put it like that's just putting it mildly to what I really want to say. But anyway, we're going to take a musical break. And when we come back, I'm going to read this information that I have on a young lady that was burnt here in Maryland.
Okay.
And Mama Said. I love that song. Okay, tonight's topic is the restraining order for what? And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call. And if you know someone who's ever been in a situation like that, or if you yourself are in a situation like that, call in and share your story with us. The number is 646-652-2877. And I'm going to ready to read this report that I got on, you know, like I had mentioned, or the young lady who was burnt on her job here in Maryland, Clinton, Maryland. Okay. The case of Clinton resident Yvette Cade, who was set on fire by her husband after a protective order against him was lifted despite her objections, has led some to question the integrity of a judicial system, which is supposed to protect victims of domestic violence. I think a court should be happy to give victims of domestic violence every bit of protection they can, instead of thinking they're scamming the system, said Dorothy Ling, legal clinic director for House of Ruth, a domestic violence shelter based in Baltimore, where Cade allegedly sought help. Cade had requested a protective order to be placed against her estranged husband, Roger Hargrave, in July, but was later rescinded after her wishes on September 19th by District Court Judge Richard A. Palumbo. Weeks later, Hargrove entered the T-Mobile store in Clinton, where Cade worked, doused her with gasoline, and set her on fire. She is now hospitalized and going through several surgeries for her third-degree burns. Hargrave is being held in PG County Detention Center without bail for attempted murder charge. Cade's cousin, Michael Haysworth, described Cade's three-year marriage to Hargrave as one of almost complete terror, during which Cade tried to protect herself and her 12-year-old daughter. Haysworth said that after she left the courthouse that day in September, Cade may have lost some faith in the system. When she came into court in September, she was appalled, said Haysworth. She felt like crap, like he just rolled over her, just no regard. Since the incident at T-Mobile store, Thurman Rose, the administrative judge for the court, has temporarily barred Palumbo from hearing domestic violence cases until early December. The court hearing on September 19th was supposed to have modified the protective order, not dismissed it, said Ron Snyder, spokesman for the Court Information Office for the Maryland Judiciary. Hargrave said he wanted him and Cade to go on to counseling, but Hargrave did not show up to court that day. The petition for modification should have been dismissed that day, says Snyder. There was a communication error between the judge and the clerk that led to the protective order being dismissed, says Snyder. Palumbo reinstated the order October the 17th. It was carried out until July. It was originally intended. Haysworth argued that even if it was an error, Palumbo should have taken responsibility for it. When she stated that he was violating the protective order, the judge should have put out a warrant for his arrest, said Haysworth. Palumbo has not commented on the case because it is prevented by the Judicial Code of Conduct, says Snyder. According to Steve Lemmy of the Judicial Disability Committee, no public disciplinary actions have been taken against Palumbo. I think it's outrageous, said Lenny. There was clear and convincing evidence, and the abuser didn't show up in court that day to argue that order be rescinded. Lenny said that she's never actually heard of a protective order being rescinded when the parties involved are still separated. Kay's family plans to take action. We may file a complaint, but I want to see what kind of character Palumbo has. He knows this is out in the media, but he should be able to say, regardless of who's responsible, I'm sorry that this has happened, says Haysworth. We need to do something about our judges, about how our judges are treating women. It's greater than Judge Palumbo, and from what I'm hearing, it's greater than the district court. Kay's family plans to send a direct letter to Palumbo's supervisor, Thurman Rose, letting him know that before they plan to file a grievances, that they direct response from Palumbo. They also plan to eventually establish a foundation that will offer protection for battered women. That's the real tragedy of it all, that she was awarded the consideration she deserved. She, Denise McCain, executive director for the Family Crisis Center of PG County. McCain says that her crisis center often warns domestic violence victims that the demeanor of the court will not always be favorable towards them. In some ways, we're going backwards, really, she said. She also said that domestic violence victims who go to court often run into obstacles as if they are not completely prepared or they have a less than perfect record. However, in this case, said McCain, that did not seem to be the answer for Cade. One positive thing, said McCain, is that this particular case may prompt domestic violence victims to seek the support of shelters and proper legal counsels in order to get the attention they deserve. Now, it was something here that I just read that really didn't make sense. Court often run into obstacles if they are not part of this. Rhea, did you by any chance say anything? Did all this make sense? I know it was in this last part. I think it was the part where it says she also said that domestic violent victims who go to court often run into obstacles if they are not completely prepared or they have a less than perfect record. Yeah, that was it. What is meant by that? I can understand if they're not prepared, but what does them having a record have to do with them when they go to court trying to seek, to get away from this violence? You know, they always throwing something in the loop. You know, it's always something thrown in the loop when it comes to the judicial system, always. And I can't understand what does that have to do with a person going into court. Now, if they're unprepared, it may be because they was trying to get out of the house or trying to get away from that person or they was just so nervous or whatever. But if they have a record, what does that have to do with anything?
It shouldn't. But, you know, it's, I think that whole everything around domestic violence in most cases seem to be slighted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even like when we were talking, well, maybe I didn't say it to you. I thought I did. But
mm-hmm.
I've had policemen make snide remarks at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and things such as that. It's like, it's almost like we're supposed to accept it. We're supposed to, you know, well, I guess some people ask, oh, it's just an ass kicking. You know, I mean, I just don't understand. It seems like everything around that is slighted against that woman making that complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And it, or it, when, it, well, maybe slighted is not the correct term. It's not taken as serious. It's not looked upon. But this is ending people's lives. This
yeah.
is leaving children without parents. This is, I mean, this is, and God forbid, if one of these kids go into some kind of psychological dysfunction, but had something like that, and end up being a serial killer or something like that. I mean, I don't know if there's anything of a trace back to it, but that has to be traumatic to a child as well. And when you're doing what you're supposed to do, quote unquote, according to the law,
mm-hmm.
trying to get some help, it's like it's not there for it. But let you try to take it into your own hands. Then you'll be the one in jail.
Yeah.
Because I often look back at that movie, The Burning Bed.
Yeah.
And that movie spoke volumes. It's, I mean, you know, because I'm not going to, the part about her, you know, steady going back and this, that, and the other, that part I can't really address because
mm-hmm.
I'm still in a state of wow when it comes to that, even in my own case. But because the person I am today really don't understand that person I used
mm-hmm.
to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't speak for her because that stuff don't make no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't, in regard to that, but when you do things and you try to get away from these assailants and you can't, you turn around and, you know, trying to invoke your own punishment, and then you're in trouble. And it's,
yep.
it's like you can't win for losing.
That's the truth. That is the truth. You know, and, you know, like when she, and I'm going to also have the information about what that judge did that particular day, you know, which was a shame. They had a big controversy up here about that. And I think when they cross the line, they need to be punished as well, because if it's in his hands, if he has that power to take that person off the street, to give that person time, that's what he should do.
Exactly.
But when I read to you what happened, you know, it just made me, and this happened back in 2005, I think it was, back in 2005. Okay. And when I read that, I still got boiled, you know, it sort of boiled my blood to know that, you know, it's just a shame that's how some people take their power and use it in the wrong way. And that's exactly what he did.
I know the case that I told you about here, that case was one of the cases. I'm not going to say it was the case because I honestly don't remember that quote, but it was one of the cases that impacted the legal system for the state of Illinois. Like the state of Illinois is not a whole lot of states that have adopted that this policy, but like in the state of Illinois, if she don't want to press charges, it doesn't make a difference now because
mm-hmm.
domestic violence is a crime against the state.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the state can automatically prosecute you, and they don't need her as a witness.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need her to come out against you. You know, if they got a case and they can build a case of domestic violence, you can be convicted via the state now. And that took some of that, you know, because some women would change their man. Some women would change their man out of fear. And, you know, being threatened and this, that, and the other, they took that away. And I know that case where he killed that woman, the one I mentioned to you about in a suburb of Chicago. I know that case was one of the cases that impacted that because she had a complete trail of his crimes against her because it is a crime. You know, she had a complete trail of that from the doctor's reports to how she left jobs, how she moved, and all those kind of things. And he was able to continue to find out where she was over a period of time. Like, I think she had been sitting comfortable for a couple of years when all of a sudden he showed up at the kid's school one day. And so somehow he found out where she was at. But there, I have a different way of thinking now because I'm at the point, well, not at the point, but you come at me, you get what you get. And if I end up getting in trouble behind it, it's like, no. I mean, it's like at some point enough is enough. You have to stop.
Yeah, that's the truth. That is the truth. But, you know, you got people out there that's, it's just, you know, it just behooves me how they let so much happen to women. And, you know, they protect animals better than they protect a human being. You know, that's what really pisses me off.
It seems like it's getting worse.
Yeah.
It seems like it's escalating. I know it goes through these periods where it seems like you hear about one case in the news, and then the next thing you know, I call it the copycat syndrome. You get all these others, but it just seems like that whole little system of stalking, intimidating, and all things such as that, it's escalating. And a lot of times when they do strike, they're striking at the place of employment.
Yeah, that
it's
is
like,
true,
wow,
too.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
It's scary. I know last year, February, the year before last, I was caught in a situation where I wear glasses for distance, and my glasses were loose, and they were newer glasses, and they were loose, and I was out and about in our downtown area, and I was like a block from I went to the bank for my youngest son, put some money in for him, and I was a block away from the eyeglass place. Well, I had a second pair of eyeglasses at the job, and the job was like four blocks from where I was at, right?
Right.
So I'm at this place, and I kept turning these glasses back in. So I said, okay, I could walk these four blocks. You know, I'm just going to walk slow and go right back to the job. Okay, fine. So I went and turned the glasses in. I come out of the glass place, and doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing anyway. I'm going to give me some Garrett's popcorn. Anybody who knows about Garrett's popcorn, no fool. People over talk about that. So instead of coming straight up the block like I should have, I'm going over to State Street so I could get me some popcorn. Well, when I get to the alley from the block, so I'm a block and a half, I'm half a block from where I was going, the police push me. They're making everybody go this particular direction. And so it's like, I'm obeying. I went the way the police was going. Didn't know what was going on, but I'm getting out of the way of whatever danger he's moving me out of the way of. Didn't know he was walking me into the danger. A man had entered the Old Navy that was on that block, and he had a gun, okay? He had a rifle. At that point, he had shot the female and mixed in with the people. So what the police were doing, now they know they're looking for this man, right? Why the hell did he send me over there going on State Street when you're looking for the man? What they were doing, they were sending everybody past this one point so that they could look to see if that was the man. I'm in the midst of all these people, girl. My equilibrium was off, and I got, because, you know, I had to look up at that point, and because the distance is what I can't see, it made me dizzy. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And then this man ran in front of me. This man ran in front of me that is a, he must have been a sniper.
Mm-hmm.
And he was completely camouflaged, and so was his rifle. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't know where this guy is with this gun now. So they're putting people up on roofs. I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious. I got back to the job. I was so shaken. And I'm sitting here like, but she's dead. She's dead. I don't remember whether he killed himself in that store or not, or whether they got him. But, like I said, the place that they're attacking, I guess is that because a lot of times they can't get to the home because you have barriers that will stop them from getting to them. So they're showing up at the places where these people work. And they're killing them. It's like, really?
Wow. Well, we have another call on the line. We're going to bring that man. I think this is Lisa. Hello?
Hey, y'all.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
What's up?
Wow, where do you want me to start with all the stories?
Well, I'm going to start it up. If you had a restraining order against somebody or somebody may have had one against you, I'm just joking about that. But no, if you had a restraining order or knew someone who had one and what the situation was, the outcome from them having that order, you know, was it a good thing for them or was it bad, or, you know, how did it work out? Because this woman here, she just got killed. I think it was one day this week, and she had a restraining order out on her husband. They had locked him up 5 times within a 5-month period, and every time they let him go. So now she's dead and has 6 children left here. I don't know who the kids are with, but she had 3 children by him and 3 from a previous, you know, marriage. So, you know, what's your story, darling?
Well, let's start with, I had a restraining order. I moved out of Florida, got back to Jersey, was in Somerset County, and I was sitting home with baby girl one night. She was doing, I had just got home from work. I'm cooking dinner. The baby's doing her homework. I'm pregnant with the baby. And, the sheriff's department shows up and says that he got a restraining order on me. What? Ain't seen him in 6 months. I've been up here. He was like, well, the sheriff's officer said you got to give us your keys and you have to leave now. What?
Wow.
So what ended up happening was I had to go to my mother's that night. And then they told me I had to wait to go to court the next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm sitting here thinking, okay, he's not on the lease. He's never lived here with me. It's me and a kid. Well, me and my oldest daughter, and I was pregnant with the youngest one. And the cops didn't care. The sheriff's officers didn't care. No, you have to leave now. I had to hand them my keys to my townhouse. Yeah. And I had to leave. So the next Thursday I get there, I went off on the judge. They were talking about contempt of court, stop yelling and all this. And I said, I'm trying to tell you, do your research. Why would you give somebody a restraining order on somebody's property that they don't live there? You didn't even look at the research that I had a restraining order from Florida.
Miscommunication.
Slow. That's what it was, slow. They didn't want to be bothered. So he said, I apologize, Ms. Perry, this, that, and the third. I said, can I get my keys back? I said, he's a crackhead that beat me for 2 years. You don't understand. He was like, oh, no, you okay? We got the keys. Really? I go back to the house that night. Everything and anything that could be sold was gone.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was that restraining order. Now let's go to my restraining order that I had on him. When he came, oh my God, 9 days after the baby was born, he found me again.
Hmm.
He found me again. And this is what kills me, that everybody don't understand about me, why I go so hard for domestic violence. This man, his mom had picked me up at the hospital, you know, everything. Me and his mom, his family love me. I'm still close with them 18 years later.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that killed me was me and mommy had gone to the store and got formula and all that, and I had got back in the house. Mommy had dropped me off, but I had brought the baby in. She was only 9 days old.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I know, I'm getting hit over the back of the head, don't remember anything else, until 4 days later when I woke up out of the coma.
Wow.
If it wasn't hit for his mother seeing that I had left the formula in the back seat of the car, I wouldn't be here right now.
Mm.
He had broken, beat me, and sodomized me, put me in a coma, and I had a restraining order. You know what they told me? Oh, why didn't you press charges? What?
Wow.
Oh, well, Florida, you can't transfer your restraining order from Florida to Jersey. Are you serious? It's just a piece of paper. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's just a piece of paper, because behind it ain't nothing going to be done. That man then found me at my job. I'm coming out from lunch from my job, and he beat me and split my head open, stabbed me over my eye and everything.
Wow.
I'm lucky to be alive right now. God is great, because I sit here and I think about all these women and all of us, what we go through. But you know what? It's not only women. There's men out there being abused too.
When I was doing my
domestic violence shows, and I'm on hiatus after the event next weekend, but I'm going back on Sundays to do them. I had a woman call in that told me she really does abuse her husband. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I've heard of cases where men are being abused. As a matter of fact, I worked with a gentleman one time at the hospital. And he would come to work with black eyes sometimes, and, you know, saying that he fell down and this and that. But
mm-hmm.
he had confided in this in this one guy and told him that his wife was abusing him. Now, I think that men who take the abuse from women are basically, you know, are really men. Not to say that they should have to do that, but when a man takes abuse from a woman, it's basically almost the same as when a woman takes abuse from a man. There's something behind that. You know, maybe he's doing it because of the kids, or maybe because he loves her and thinks she's going to change. You know, because women, when we get into a relationship with a man and he's not acting right, or we know he's not acting right, the first thing that goes across our mind, I can change him, or I might change him. You cannot change a person. They would have to want to change. The only thing you can do is go in and make suggestions or talk about things to try to make them change, or to help them to see things in a different light, but you cannot change a person. So if you go into that relationship knowing that this person is an abuser, he does this, he does that, then that's the only thing that you're going to get out of it. And you went into the relationship seeing all that. Now, that's how some women do, but they go into these relationships thinking that, oh, well, he'll change for me, you know, but it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that, because an abuser is a person that's going to abuse you regardless. He may be sweet in the beginning, but that dark side is eventually going to come out. He's abused. He's not only abusing you, he's probably abused his sisters, because I know of a guy who abused his sisters, his mother, and every relationship he was in, he abused those women.
Mm.
So that those things start somewhere for that person to be doing that abuse. And if a person abused their mother, that's no. They definitely are going to have no respect for other women.
They are a product of their environment. It's a pattern. And this mm-hmm. is what we got to learn. We got to break the pattern. I have never hit my girls. I swear to God, sometimes I want to just, ooh, you know. But mm-hmm. at the same time, like my little one, she don't even have a clue what her dad did to me. why you and Daddy ain't together till tomorrow? Why y'all got divorced? Oh, we just wasn't getting along, and that's how I leave it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, her older sister witnessed what happened to me. She saw it.
Mm-hmm.
She won't tell her sister because I told her I'll beat her ass behind it. Her sister don't got to know all that. But at the end of the day, we're a product of our environment. We see what goes on. We know what goes on. But we were so back in the day, I mean for the older generation, you don't speak that.
Right.
You don't talk about it. It doesn't come out like that. But now you've got people, and I swear, I see, oh, God, don't get me started because I will go off tonight. But you've got women out there that say, oh, I got hit. You got 9 babies walking around the street that you don't even know who your baby daddies is. Who hit you? Oh, I don't know.
Yep.
There's so much to it now that's making the real people that are being abused not getting credibility. And that's what's sad.
Right, because that's you have women who will take a restraining order out on a guy, then she rescinds it. You know, well, everything's okay, because that happened to a family member of mine. She and her boyfriend, they fought like cats and dogs. And she had a restraining order out on him. And, you know, he calls up and cons her into taking the restraining order off of her. Then after that, he kidnapped her, kept her away from the family, beat her beyond recognition after that.
Mission accomplished.
You know, so, yeah, but, you know, you have to stick by your guns. And these women letting these men sweet talk you back after he's abused you, don't listen to him. You know, once you get out of that relationship, don't go back, because it could mean your life. You know, and a lot of women have lost their lives by going back, you know, listening to him call and say, well, I'm sorry, I really love you, I want you back, and we can work it out. And you get back with him, next thing you know, you don't know, but the next thing everybody else know, you're dead.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing right there. They always call the first time. That's the whole thing I tell people. The first time it happens, if it happens, run. Don't walk.
Yep.
Run. Because at the end of the day, it's going to happen again. They're going to come with the flowers, like you said, the apologies, all this. But at the end of the day, it's going to happen again. It will always happen again. You can't stop. Once you let them get away with it one time, that's it. It's a wrap. And where
that's
you going to be? You're either going to be in the jail for killing them for self-defense, or under the jail for getting killed by them.
Yep. Yep, that's the truth.
One period.
And, you know, like I had mentioned, that documentary, The Faces, that's, oh, my God, it's just so horrible how their husbands, through lying, their face with stupid things, you know. And then also understand if a woman cheats on her husband in those countries, they can kill him. The husband can kill them. Or maim
mm-hmm.
them, you know, just do anything to them that he desires to do to them if they cheat. You know, oh, my God, it's just, that's why I think the United States is one place where a lot of people, a lot of foreigners come so they can have that freedom to do whatever it is they want to do, because you can do practically anything here. You know, you can have a whorehouse, you can do this, you can be a pimp, you can do that. But in some of them countries, they don't put up with that mess. They do not put up with it. I know over in Jamaica, if you're gay, they will kill you. You know, there are places
and
where they
will. And there's a lot more than that. There's a lot more than that. If you even, if you're in certain countries and you even look at another man, you're getting hung.
Right, or even they gouge your eyes out. They do so much to the women over in them countries, over in
their arms out, they don't care.
Iraq and all them places. Yeah, they'll gouge your eyes out, pour a lye on you, cut your arms off, cut your tongue out. You know, just all kind of things they would do. And, you know, like I had mentioned earlier, I'm just so glad and, you know, feel so blessed that, you know, God had gave me the parents that he gave me over here. You know, because I could have been born over there and someone, you know, my husband or whatever, could have threw lye in my face or cut my arms off, cut my tongue out, you know. They just degrade women over there. They just like someone has said in the chat room that they women are things, they're objects to them, you know.
Yeah, that's it. That's straight it. That is straight it. We are objects. We, for some reason, women have not taken control of themselves and realized you are not an object. You better than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I get so aggravated because I was there. So now, you know, I've grown. I've way grown. I swear, I wish, oh, my God, I'll leave that alone right now. I put it in the chat room. But I wish somebody would even try to step to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be bothered with y'all. I got too much going on. I grew. So now y'all looking at me like, well, hold up, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
You can't get
see,
this
the
no
women,
more.
Just like I had also mentioned, women are arming themselves more and being more protective of themselves, you know, because men are going around sneaking into women's bedrooms, raping them and killing them. Grabbing them off the street, you know, just doing any and everything that they possibly feel that they want to do to women. And, you know, by us being women, we don't have the strength to fight off a man. You know, so if we have a gun, then, hey, Smith & Wesson be my brother.
I knew of a lady.
Y'all better get certified real quick. Get a Glock, a 9, and a 44, and let's go. I wish somebody would.
I knew of a lady who lived on the first floor. And, you know how you leave your window cracked in the summertime or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had came into her window and they raped her.
Mm.
And all I can say is something must have snapped in her head.
Mm-hmm.
Because she left that window open. She rarely slept. I don't know how long this went on at all. But she rarely slept. She would leave that window open and just sit there with her pistol. She just wanted somebody to come through her window. She said, because they kept saying how that if they get away with it, they'll return.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kept, and so she would just sit there with her window cracked. It wasn't even cracked. It was open.
Mm.
You know, and she would sit there with her gun just waiting. and I said to myself, oh, my goodness gracious. And it was, I mean, it had gotten so at one point, don't know what stirred this up, because it wasn't a place that it was over by my aunt's house. So I only knew about her because, I went to visit my aunt. But it had gotten so bad that people didn't want to walk past her window.
Mm.
They would go all either cross the street or go up the other block. So I don't know what she did, but she sat there with her windows open. Do you hear me? And she was sitting there just waiting on one of them to come back. And I say, you don't never know where you're going to push them to. You don't never know if there may be a vigilante group that comes along and their sole purpose is to beat the hell out of those men who are beating the hell out of women. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You don't never know where enough is enough.
And
all I know, I can't speak for nobody but myself, but at this day and age, the way this game is played, bring it on.
Yeah.
I bet you I can make you step back, and you'll be sorry that you just stepped to me that way. Because
yeah,
I don't treat people that
right
way.
There.
Not tolerating it.
Before
I
hang up.
That and ain't going to do it no more.
Hell no. Before I hang up, I want to tell you, there's Touching Heart, run by Brooks Jones down here in Atlanta. That's a domestic violence shelter, and she does all the advocating and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And for my event next weekend, hold on 1 second, I'm going to call.
Did she say hold on for a minute? I wonder what happened to her.
Okay.
Oh. Well, we're going to take a Lisa?
The pollen is killing me in ATL. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
But,
okay.
For next weekend, for my event, half the raffles is going to Touching Heart.
Mm-hmm.
For the domestic violence, so I got that.
Oh, okay.
I'm losing my voice, and I'll see you in the chat.
All right, darling. Thank you, Lisa, for calling in. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back, and I'm going to read The Dumbest Judge Ever.
Yeah, I've been waiting to hear about it.
Now, wait a minute, Shirley. I'm a young woman, and I can't afford to do all the things you do for this man. I don't even have a job, and I can't buy his clothes, pay his car note, and I surely can't keep money in his pocket. But I can give him what he needs when he needs it, and that's all he expects from me. I can give him love.
That's Barbara Mason from His Woman to You. That's the answer to Shirley Brown's Woman to Woman. Mm-hmm. Like I had promised, I'm going to read this information that I got off the internet about the judge in the case of Yvette Cave, the woman who was burnt. Her husband threw gasoline on her and set a match to her in 2005 when she had a restraining order on her where the judge rescinded it. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call them. We do have 60 minutes left. With your questions and comments. Okay, here we go. And district court judge Richard A. Palumbo, the dumbest judge ever, or he is just a major league asshole. You decide. Here's what happened. 3 weeks before Yvette Cave was doused in gasoline and set on fire, allegedly by her estranged husband, a Prince George's County judge dismissed the protective order Cade had against him, despite her objections that he was violent. During a September 19th hearing, she told District Court Judge Richard A. Palumbo that her husband was intimidating and had been violating the protective order, according to an audio recording of the proceeding. She said she had pictures of some property he had vandalized. I want you to look at these pictures because I don't want him to continue, she said. Palumbo suddenly interrupted her, saying, this case is dismissed. Her estranged husband had asked the judge to lift a restraining order so that the couple could go to marriage counseling. She wanted a divorce and warned the judge that her husband was violent. He told her where to get off, basically. At the September 19th hearing, which lasted about 10 minutes, Kay, 31, told the judge she wanted an immediate and absolute divorce, according to the recording. "I'd like to be 6 feet five," Palumbo responds, "but that's not what we do here. You have to go to divorce court for that." Note, she didn't want the judge to grant her a divorce then and there. She was telling him she didn't want to go to marriage counseling. The primitive reason why her husband wanted the protective order lifted, and in fact, didn't even want to be married to the guy. The judge went ahead and lifted the order, telling her marriage counseling might not be a bad idea if you want to save the marriage. Guess what happened next, readers? On Monday morning, Hargrave walked into the crowded T-Mobile store in Clinton, where Cade was at work, threw gasoline on her and set her on fire with a match, police said. Half her upper body, including her entire face, suffered third-degree burns, the most serious level. A customer in the store extinguished the fire with a towel. Now, this girl, she was on Oprah, too, but she was also up at in Washington Hospital Center in the burn unit. And at that particular time, I had was forced to retire from Washington Hospital Center. But, you know, it was just a shame how he went in there and did what he did. You know, and and you heard what the judge said.
Mm-hmm.
He needed to be disciplined as well.
Exactly.
And I think when they say things like that, that's not taking their job serious. That's not being the best interest of the public. So why do you even have this job? Go somewhere and flip burgers, or go somewhere and do something else. Go what you like to do, because it's obvious that he doesn't like his job. He's just throwing his power around all in the wrong way. And that probably could have been prevented if he had locked that guy up, had a warrant out for his arrest, you know, for him even come within, I don't know how many feet or how, you know, how they do that, but he should have been locked up when he violated that protection order before the time he went down there and then set on fire.
Exactly.
You know, it's just so disheartening.
So is he in jail now awaiting trial?
Yeah, he's in jail now. He's definitely. I think he got. I don't know if he got life or what, but he's definitely in jail.
That's right. This is 2003. So
no, it happened in 2005. I think that's what's on the paper. It happened in 2005 or something like that. But it's been, you know, a good few years since it had happened.
Okay.
But it could have been probably prevented. You see what I'm saying? Because if I'm quite sure, because she was definitely fearful of this man.
Exactly.
And I'm quite sure when she saw him coming, she was going in another direction. Because they showed it on, they had the cameras up in the store, how he went in the store, and, you know, she was behind the counter, and she sort of like was trying to run away from him, but he threw the gasoline on her. Then he set her on fire, and she ran out the door. I mean, it was just so horrendous to watch that, you know, to even watch that, how he just went in there and did what he did and just walked away, you know.
Wow.
But, yeah, and, you know, these pieces of paper is a false sense of security. So I'm just saying, if you women out there are getting these restraining orders, then maybe you ought to get, you know, your two brothers, Smith and Weston, to, you know, be on your side as well, because,
exactly,
you know, a piece of paper is not, these days, is not no good protection, like the young lady who was killed the other day. You know, and I know she was fearful of this man because he looked crazy. He looked crazy. They had his picture on TV, and he used to be an extreme fighters. He used to be a boxer and something else he used to do. But, you know, even if it was no way she could overpower that man, you know. And he probably tricked her in some kind of way to get her even to go wherever he was trying to take her before he killed her. You know, his intentions probably were to just kill her anyway, you know. Then he just threw her out on the street like she was a piece of trash. They tried CPR on her, but she was gone because he had shot her in the head with a rifle or something that he had had. And, you know, then he takes the coward way out and kills himself. You know, but I just hope and pray that, you know, now maybe they might change the laws or they might be a little bit more stricter when they when these guys violate the restraining order. Just lock them up. Lock them up. And, you know,
yeah, if they took it more serious, it may be some form of a deterrent.
Oh, but you know,
right now it doesn't mean anything.
Right, because you know what they said also? Because when she had called the police on him, they said, well, there's nothing we can do unless he does something to you. So,
exactly.
Oh, so he has to beat me almost half to death or even kill me before y'all would do anything.
Yeah, because the time we do something, guess what? It could be too late.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's too late because I remember
it was my children. But time a if turns into a when, it's too late.
Yeah, because I remember one time they had locked my son up. Because his first baby's mama, they was having an argument. She called the police. She wanted him out of her place. She told the police that he had hit her. But if he did hit her, I wasn't there. I don't know. But she didn't have any bruises on her or anything. And my son said that he did not hit her. But they locked him up. You see what I'm saying? See, and what was that all about? The police didn't see him hit her. It was her word against his word. But they locked my son up because she said that he hit her.
Yep.
You know, and I mean the laws need to be changed. They need to conform exactly what's going on when these people do these crimes. And especially for women. You know, women and babies are just... We're basically obstacles or things to men, and that doesn't make sense. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I want to give a little shout out to my chat room because we're getting ready to close the show. Thanks, Miss Kane, Penelope Flynn, Lisa, and everybody else out there in cyber world or wherever you're at, listen to this show. I really do appreciate you stopping in. And next week's show, I haven't posted it yet. I don't do my shows until I discuss them with my co-hosts. So, you know, ladies, listen up. If you are in a situation where you're being abused, I don't care by who, your mother, father, sister, brother, anybody, you don't deserve to be abused. You don't deserve to be in that position. So get out of it, go to a shelter, stay with a friend or do something. And then you women who are in these abusive relationships with your husbands, boyfriends, significant others, you don't need to be in that situation as well. Get out of it, go to a shelter, go anywhere but where you're at. Because one thing for certain, two things off is sure. Tomorrow's not promised to none of us. And then to have someone to take it from you, that's the worst.
Yep.
That's the worst. Because if you just, you know, die from a sickness or illness or something like that, that's different opposed to somebody just taking your life. So get help. Call your local shelters, your local places where they shelter women and House of Ruth. I think we have the House of Ruth here and other few shelters that are here. But, you know, get out of those relationships. You don't deserve that. We are so much more than the credit that we're given as women, you know, because men, they look down on us, they call us all kind of names and things like that. But truth be told, we are queens. And the ones who act like queens should be treated like queens. With that being said, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. And hope everybody have a beautiful weekend. Rhea, you have a beautiful weekend. Miss Kane, you put your stuff in the chat room. Penelope, I'll be talking to you. Lisa, I hope you have the best event next week. I really, really, really wish that I could be there, but maybe I'll come another time. And do you have any closing remarks, Rhea?
Feel better, Miss Kane.
Yeah. All right, everybody. So have a nice weekend and take care. Good night, Rhea. Thank you, darling.
All right. You have a good weekend as well.
I will, sweetie.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Goodbye and good night.